We Can Remember It For You Wholesale and Other Stories by Philip K. Dick. Copyright Burlington Books, 2001. Precious Artifact. Milt Biskell looked out from his helicopter at the fertile land below. He had done a good job on Mars. Mars had been destroyed by the recent Prox-Earth War. Milt Biskell had worked very hard reconstructing it. Now water and grass covered the surface. Soon, settlers from Earth would come and build homes on the land. He could bring his family here. Because of his reconstruction work, he would get priority land. Milt Biskell pushed a button on his transmitter.
"This is Reconstruct Engineer Biskell," he said. "I'd like to see a psychiatrist immediately."
When Milt Biskell entered the office, Dr. De Winter stood up and held out his hand.
"I've heard that you are one of our best reconstruct engineers," Dr. De Winter said. "I'm not surprised that you're tired. A few minutes ago, I received a news memo from Earth which will interest you. The first shipment of settlers from Earth is about to arrive here on Mars. They will go directly to your area. Congratulations, Mr. Biskell."
"What if I went back to Earth?" asked Milt Biskell. "I feel tired and depressed. I want you to put my equipment on a ship returning to Earth."
"Why would you want to sacrifice your reward after 6 years of hard work? Earth is terribly overcrowded. There are about 7 families in each apartment," said Dr. De Winter.
"It would be a relief for me after 6 years of loneliness here."
He had decided. He wanted to go home, in spite of the psychiatrist's arguments.
"What if your wife and children are among the settlers in the first shipment, Milt?" asked Dr. De Winter.
He picked up the news memo again.
"Your wife is called Faye, and you have 2 girls, Laura and June. Is that right?"
"Yes," said Milt Biskell. He looked straight ahead.
"Well, don't you want to see them? Go and put on your hair. Oh, and don't forget to change your teeth. You've got the stainless steel ones in at the moment."
Biskell nodded. Everybody on Earth had lost their hair and teeth from the fallout after the nuclear war. During his lonely job of reconstructing Mars, he hadn't worn the wig or the white plastic teeth. He felt guilty about that. But he had felt guilty ever since the Proxmen had lost the war. It didn't seem fair to him that the Proxmen had suffered. Both cultures fought over Mars because both cultures needed a new colony. Thank God that Earth had won in the end, and it was human beings who were coming to live on Mars.
"By the way," Dr. De Winter said, "the other reconstruct engineers are coming to hear your speech. I know you want to tell them something is wrong, although you aren't sure what it is. I have to read them my report of your mental status at the same meeting."
"I still want to make my speech," Biskell said.
"I have an idea. You go and meet your family when they arrive on Mars, and I'll arrange a trip for you to Earth. In return, you won't give your speech to the other engineers. After all, this is an important day. The first settlers are arriving. We don't want any trouble."
"Can you do me a favor?" asked Biskell. "Can you show me that you're wearing a wig and that your teeth are false? I want to be sure that you're human."
Dr. De Winter took his wig off and pulled his false teeth out.
"I'll take the offer," Milt Biskell said, "if you make sure that my wife receives the plot of land I put aside for her."
Dr. De Winter nodded and gave him a white envelope. Biskell opened it and found a ticket to Earth. He wondered what he would see on Earth. He had a feeling that they wouldn't let him see very much. When his ship reached Earth, an attractive guide was waiting for him.
"Hello, Mr. Biskell. I'm Mary Ablisseth, your guide. I'll show you around Earth during your stay here. I'll be with you day and night."
"Night too?"
he asked. "Yes, Mr. Biskell. That's my job. You're probably disoriented from your years of hard work on Mars. Now, where would you like to go first? New York City? Broadway? Perhaps to a nightclub?"
"No, I want to go to Central Park. I want to sit on a park bench," said Milt Biskell.
"But there is no Central Park, Mr. Biskell. It was turned into a car park for government workers while you were on Mars."
"Oh, well. Then let's go to Portsmouth Park in San Francisco."
"I'm afraid that's also a car park now," said Miss Ablisseth. "Earth is very overpopulated."
"This is bad news," Milt said. "Can I stop at the drug machine? I need a stimulant to cheer me up."
"Of course," said Miss Ablisseth.
Milt Biskell walked up to the drug machine. He took out a coin from his pocket and put it in the slot. The coin fell straight through the machine and onto the ground.
"That's strange," said Milt, puzzled.
"I can explain it," said Miss Ablisseth. "Your coin was made on Mars. It is designed for a lighter gravity."
Milt Biskell felt very confused. He watched as Miss Ablisseth put in her own coin and took out a packet of stimulants for him. Her explanation made sense, but she turned to him, smiling.
"It's now 8 o'clock, and I haven't had dinner. We can go out to eat and talk while we drink a bottle of wine. You can tell me all about your fears."
They walked towards the helicopter and sat down in the back seat. He could feel her warm body next to his. It was a long time since he had been so close to a woman. It felt good.
"Listen," he said, as the helicopter took off into the air. "I'm married. I've got 2 children, and I came here on business. I'm on Earth to prove to myself that it was the Proxmen who won the war, and that human beings are slaves of the Prox authorities."
"Do you actually think that I'm a Prox agent?" asked Miss Ablisseth, as the helicopter passed over New York City.
"No, I suppose not," admitted Milt Biskell.
"Listen," she said, "why don't you stay with me? There's plenty of room."
"Okay," Biskell said.
"Great," Miss Ablisseth said. "We'll have dinner at my place. There's a 2-hour queue at this time of night for any restaurant. You've probably forgotten what it's like on Earth. How wonderful it will be when half our population can emigrate."
"Yes, and they're like Mars. We've done a good job."
He felt proud when he thought of the reconstruction work he had done.
"Wait until you see it, Miss Ablisseth."
"Call me Mary,"
she said.
The helicopter landed on the roof of the building. She tidied her wig and pushed her teeth into place.
"Was I mistaken?"
Milt asked himself. He could see the lights of New York below. Earth was not a ruin. But what if this was an illusion? Maybe it was the work of a Prox psychiatrist. It was a fact that his coin had fallen through the drug machine. Didn't that show that something was terribly wrong? Perhaps the machine had been an illusion as well. The next day, Milt and Mary went to one of the few parks left on Earth. It was small, but it was still green and very pretty. They lay on a blanket on the grass. Milt Biskell watched a squirrel climbing a tree. Mary lay on her back with her eyes shut. She was wearing a swimming suit. The noise of the traffic was like the waves of an ocean. All was well. Milt threw a nut to the squirrel. The squirrel came forward and picked the nut up. Milt threw a second nut behind it. The squirrel heard it land on the ground, and its ears pricked up. This reminded Milt of a game he and his brothers used to play with their cat, Pumpkin, in the days when domestic animals were still legal. He liked to wait until Pumpkin was almost asleep, and then throw an object into the corner of the room. Pumpkin always woke up. His ears pricked up, and he sat there, listening for the source of the noise. It was a long time since he had had a pet. Milt missed Pumpkin. During his years on Mars, he had kept a pet, a Martian wug plant. He had brought it with him to Earth. The plant was in Mary's apartment, but it was dying.
"It's strange that my wug plant is dying. Earth has such a moist atmosphere and..."
"It's the gravity. There's too much for it," said Mary slowly. Milt looked at her. She was almost asleep. He picked up a stone and threw it into the leaves near Mary's head. She sat up at once and opened her eyes. Both her ears pricked up.
"But we humans," Milt said, "aren't able to do that, Mary."
"What?"
she murmured in confusion. "We humans cannot prick up our ears. That ability doesn't exist in humans anymore. The muscles are still there, but they don't work. So you see, Mary, you've made a big mistake."
"I don't know what you're talking about," Mary said. She turned her back on him.
"Let's go back to your apartment," said Milt.
There was no point in staying in the park now that he knew it was an illusion. As he walked away, he watched a family throwing nuts to the squirrel.
"Very convincing," said Milt,
and it really was. "It's a shame you didn't see Dr. De Winter more often, Milt. He could have helped you."
"I'm sure he could have," agreed Milt Biskell.
When they got back to Mary's apartment, Milt found his Martian wug plant dead.
"Don't try and explain this," he said to Mary. "Earth is more humid than Mars, but this plant has died of dehydration. There's no water on Earth because the Prox bombs destroyed the seas. Am I right?"
Mary said nothing.
"What I don't understand," Milt said, "is why you're continuing the illusion I've finished my job."
"Maybe there are more plants that need reconstruction work. Work on Earth will take years. You have the talent and experience," said Mary.
"So Earth is my next job. That's why you allowed me to come here. In fact, I'm going to stay here. I won't be returning to Mars, and I won't see Faye again," he realized.
Mary moved closer to him and took his arm. Milt moved away. "And now we're going to visit the Museum of Modern Art," she said brightly. "They've asked me to keep you busy, to stop you from thinking too much."
"Nothing can stop me from thinking," thought Milt. "It's going to happen to every reconstruct engineer when he finishes his area. At least I'm not alone. I'm just the first."
"How do I look?" asked Mary, as she looked in the mirror and put on lipstick.
"Fine," he answered.
He wondered if they would give her to him to keep, or if she would be given to each reconstruct engineer in turn. He was beginning to like her. At least she was alive, even if she wasn't human. At the museum, Milt saw something he had been waiting to see. While Mary was looking at a painting, he walked quietly away. A minute later, he was looking at a glass box. The sign over it said, Prox Military of 2014. There were three Prox soldiers behind the glass. They stood frozen. There was a Prox flag above their heads. A group of visitors were standing next to Milt. They were also looking at the Prox soldiers.
They are convincing, aren't they?
Said Milt to the man nearest him.
Yes, agreed the man. Were you in the war?
He asked Milt.
I'm a reconstruct engineer, said Milt.
The man nodded. He was impressed.
Those Prox men look as if they're going to come out of the glass and fight.
Their guns frighten me, said his wife behind him. They're too realistic.
You're right, Milt Biscoe said. They do look frighteningly real because, of course, they are.
There was no point in creating an illusion like this because the genuine article was all around them. Milt lifted his foot and smashed the glass. As Mary came running, Milt took a gun from one of the frozen Proxmen and pointed it at her. Mary stopped. She didn't say anything.
I will work for you,
Milt said to her, holding the gun.
After all, if my own people don't exist now, I can't reconstruct a world for them. But I want to know the truth. Show it to me, and I'll continue with my job.
No, Milt, said Mary. If you knew the truth, you wouldn't go on. You'd shoot yourself.
Then I'll kill you instead, he said.
Wait! Look, Milt, this is difficult. You're miserable now, and you don't need to see your planet as it really is. It's almost too much for me, and I'm just a...
She stopped.
Say it.
I'm just a visitor.
Two museum guards appeared, holding guns.
Wait,
she instructed the guards. She kept her eyes on Milt and his gun. No one moved.
Did any human women survive?
Asked Milt.
No, Milt, said Mary after a pause. But we Proxmen can mix with human beings. Doesn't that make you feel better?
Much better, he said.
He was on the point of panicking. He wanted to point the gun at his own head and pull the trigger. He had been right. That thing on Mars couldn't be Fay. It must be another Proxman.
I want to return to Mars,
he said to Mary.
I came here to learn something. Now I know the truth. I want to return. Maybe I'll go and see Dr. De Winter again.
You have a right to return. After all, you helped to reconstruct Mars. But eventually, you'll have to start working here on Earth. We can wait a year or two, but no longer than that. Mars will be full soon, and we need the room. It's going to be much harder here, as you'll discover. You'll be interested to know that another reconstruct engineer spoke at the meeting. He told them what you had wanted to say. They voted to send a delegate here to Earth to investigate. He's on his way now.
It doesn't matter now. It doesn't change things. What about Earth's animals? Did dogs and cats survive?
Mary looked at the guards.
Maybe it's all right after all, she said.
What's all right?
For you to see Earth as it really is. You seem to be accepting the situation better than we expected. Yes, Milt, dogs and cats survived. They live here among the ruins. Come and look.
He followed her, thinking to himself, "Do I really want to look? Can I face the truth?" Slowly he walked outside, and he saw Earth as it was. And it was, as she had said, ruins. He saw a small mechanical rig. It was a construction rig similar to the one he had used on Mars. It was destroying the foundations of the existing buildings. The ground was bare and dark brown. He knew from his own work on Mars that this rig would be followed by another one, which would build foundations for new structures. In the distance, he saw two Proxmen checking their work. They had won the war. Soon a Prox city will be built here with Prox buildings and structures. He wondered about the Earth dogs and cats. What would happen to them? They would probably be kept in museums and zoos. Proxmen would come and look at them. But Mary was right. The remaining human beings could mix with Proxmen. The result would be a new race, half Prox, half human. The species would continue. Earth would be rebuilt. He had already seen the beginning of the reconstruction work. He turned and walked back to Mary.
"Do me a favor. Get me a cat I can take back to Mars with me. I've always liked cats, especially the orange ones with stripes."
On the trip to Mars, Milt Biskell sat with the orange cat on his lap. He looked out of the window and stroked the soft fur.
"You wouldn't have liked Mars anyway," he said.
He stood up and walked towards the emergency exit. Before the stewardess reached him, he opened the inner door.
"Mr. Biskell, are you mad? What are you doing?"
She shut the door.
"You know exactly what I was doing," he said as he returned to his seat. "And don't think you stopped me, because it wasn't you. I could have done it, but I decided not to."
Dr. De Winter met him when he landed on Mars. Together they entered the helicopter.
"I heard that on the trip..." "That's right. I was going to kill myself. But I changed my mind." "Are you going to build a house on your land with Fay?" asked Dr. De Winter. "Yes," nodded Milt Biskell.
After all, there was nothing else to do. Dr. De Winter looked at the cat on Milt Biskell's lap.
"What's that? Is it a creature from Earth?"
He looked at it suspiciously.
"It is a very curious-looking organism." "It's going to keep me company," Milt Biskell said. "Is that what you call a rattlesnake? I hear the sound of its rattle." "It's purring," said Milt, stroking the cat. "Having this cat will make it possible for me to live," he suddenly thought.
He felt very grateful.
"My race was destroyed, but not all Earth creatures have disappeared. When we reconstruct Earth, maybe we can ask the Proxmen to allow us to build animal parks. We'll make that part of our job," he told himself.
He stroked his cat again. Next to him, Dr. De Winter was also thinking. He admired the difficult work which had made the imitation on Milt Biskell's knees. The engineers had done a fantastic job. This artifact was accepted by the Earthman as an authentic organism from his past. It would help him to remain sane. But what about the other reconstruct engineers? What would help them as each one realized the truth of the situation? It would be different for each man. A dog for one, a woman for another. Research would be done into the past of each engineer. The cat imitation had been finished weeks before Biskell had returned to Earth.
"I'll call him Thunder,"
Milt Biskell said.
"Good name," said Dr. De Winter. "It's a shame we couldn't show him the real situation on Earth," he thought.
It is quite interesting that he accepted what he saw. He must realize, on some level, that nothing could survive the war we had. It's obvious that he desperately wanted to believe there was something which remained. But this is typical of Earthmen. It's why they lost the war. They were simply not realists.
This cat, said Milt Biskell, is going to be a hunter of Martian sneak mice.
Right, Dr. De Winter agreed. As long as its batteries don't run down, he thought. He too stroked the cat. A switch turned, and the cat purred louder.